Sonata.
You are listening to the Doug Stanhope Podcast.
The potato peelings in the sink did not turn into vodka as I had hoped. I only start to need a drink after the liquor stores have closed. I heard you change your name again, but don't you change your hair. It was the only thing I liked about you in the end. La la la.
I don't even know if this is a good idea. Hangover podcast. Hey, yeah. Why don't you enjoy a journey with us as we try to piece together what exactly happened in the last 24 hours?
A lot of loathing and a little fear.
I'm trying to think of like a good third that was probably, well, Andy's too, he's erratic on his best day. I think maybe we should just wait a minute to start this.
We could wait, yeah. Because last night we could have done it. We were telling witty stories.
We could have, yeah.
We were amusing. We had some good ones. That
ran late.
Yeah, we've got a lot of tape, but yeah. I mean, it took us a while to get in our groove, but once we did, that was pretty good.
I forget
what we'd be smirching the girls on, but it was funny.
We've only got 339 hours on digital left, so we can just let it roll.
But you didn't record the rain the other night, did you?
The what?
The rain?
No.
Oh, because it was raining in Las Vegas. That would be more interesting. Listen to this. You're not going to believe it. This is the raid.
Okay, this is the Doug Stanhope Hangover Podcast as we try to recreate the events that have happened over the last 24 to 36 hours. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Plaza Hotel.
On the top floor.
In a suite.
A suite.
Yeah.
Well, it's the top floor if you take four of the elevators.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There is a 25th floor on one elevator.
Wow.
You go, where the hell does that go?
Have you
ever tried hitting the button?
Oh, no, I haven't, actually. Well,
we got to do that. We got to see what's on it.
I think the maid who came by, and well, I could call her the trash person. She took out two large trash bags of trash from this one room.
Full size, like lawn still, bags.
It filled her cart, and then she said, "Just leave it at the door. We'll send someone."
I have a lotto ticket on the table. Did she find that?
She might have it.
Yeah, if she could just run through the garbage real quick. Yeah, no, we're the room with the two bags. Yeah.
Well, the one bag's still sitting out there. That's probably going to be there till we check out tomorrow.
Yeah, it's like an example. Like, this is what you did.
Yeah, I was going to say,
shame us.
We ran out of toilet paper this morning. We waved her off because she was coming down the hall. We were like, no, we're good, thanks. And the lady told me yesterday, my back hurts. You don't know how much work this is. And I go, I assume it's like being a maid. And, and so she keeps going. And then later, after I wagged her off, I go to the bathroom. Maggie had just come out. And I went, whoop. I had one sheet left. I'm like, oh, this is bad. Can we either get a bunch more towels or a roll of toilet paper? Your call.
Or in a pinch. The little coupon book that you get on check-in.
Hey.
That's what they're using down at Derrick.
I wiped my ass with Louis Anderson.
The coupon for Louis Anderson. That's what Derrick and Andy were using for toilet paper last night.
What?
The coupon book for like 2-for-1 sandwiches at Subway. I was ripping out a coupon this morning to get a sandwich because you can get two 6 inches for the price of one. And he goes, oh, that's what those are for? We're using that as toilet paper in our room.
So you should use a Subway fucking coupon as toilet paper, because in Las Vegas, the city that never sleeps, the 24-hour town where you can walk around with a cocktail in your hand at any day, at any time of the day or night, drink, gamble, lose everything you have any hour, whores. Yeah, Subway still in the Plaza Hotel will not give you a fucking breakfast sandwich after 11 o'clock. So I went down my first morning anger fit. I knew I couldn't get it because I've already been through this a few times. So I ordered a bunch of footlong sandwiches, had a made up toasted. And then the last sandwich I ordered was an egg white ham and cheese. And they go, oh, we don't serve those after 11. And then I go, okay, never mind the entire order. I just left them standing there with a stack of sandwiches.
Vote with your feet. Guess what? Excuse me. Are you one of our super players? Guess what? You've won a free sub sandwich. Quick, find the next guy on the list.
Yeah, we're going to find out what we've actually accomplished with that Royal Rewards card. Oh, my God. We have a company. Who could it be? Andy Andrus. On the, yeah, hang on. Let me move microphones.
We'll put the chairs together.
No, one in the corner.
Well, I guess they're out of coupons in their room. He immediately goes in the bathroom.
Derek, we just heard you've been wiping your ass with fun book coupons.
Two for ones. Is it two ply? No.
But you stole coupons or toilet paper? Toilet paper. All right. Good work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have that. You can kind of request it.
You can ask them. They prefer you to have it in your room.
Yeah, they'd rather have you wiping your ass with the toilet paper that's complimentary here at the Plaza Hotel in downtown Vegas. Come on down, complimentary toilet paper. Don't you dare wipe your ass with that sausage egg McMuffin wrapper.
Remember,
this is in North Vegas.
The pool is open at 5 o'clock. The bidet is broken.
We had a bit of a beef. I still have a fucking beef with security here. One security guy in particular. Because yesterday we spent football with the fans. Don't worry, Andy. That's the whole theme of this podcast. Here, have a seat. It's the Hangover Podcast. Yeah. Trying to recreate the events of the last 36 hours in Las Vegas. I know we did a show. It was probably the least amusing thing of
exactly.
The last.
Exactly. Remember? Tradition.
Yeah. You have to do that show thing, being a comic and all. And it was nice. It's a nice showroom. It was a little understaffed at the bar, not complaining about the Plaza Hotel, downtown Las Vegas, Old Vegas, number one South Main Street.
Come right on the corner, Plaza right on the Hotel. Price.
And then we did the fan day, fan appreciation day, hung out all day watching football in the sports book. It was great until I bet money and then saw a girl on, we call her Vegas 702 is her at. That's you, at Vegas 702 on Twitter. You jinx. I told you specifically don't come down when any time. I never want to see your face when I'm gambling because you're a jinx.
Cooler.
I lost every single football game I bet on. Every single one.
Even the locks were losses.
Yes. And then she just sat there staring at me. I'm like, why are you still here? I thought you left for the night game. That's the only reason I bet the Saints is because I thought you were gone. You're here. Oh, the Saints lost.
Thanks, Jinxie.
Thank you for the tip.
Yeah.
That's the one game I won yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he reverse bet it. Yeah.
I reverse bet it because Mark Rat Ranch was alone, but you were Becker was voting with you with New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Matt Becker and Andy Andrus as well as Greg Chaley, as always, and yeah, then it started to spiral out at some point. It was a great day. No one was a douchebag.
No, it was fun.
Until late last night, there was one creepy guy. Me and Becker and some folks. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know what happened to you.
Yeah, you were MIA.
What happened to you, Andy?
Is that a Vegas term?
I went up to that room with a guy, the prosthetic limbs room. He wasn't there, but
he
has a cooler bag of pills. And the guy just like started pulling out different pill bottles and asking if I wanted them. And I said, yeah, mostly. but he gave me a, what was it?
Yeah, most all of them.
Dilaudid. Dilaudid. And I go, what? I was asking what it was. Is it a pain? He goes, he was real vague. So I just took it. And it kind of knocks you out eventually. So.
That's what killed Lenny Bruce. Lenny Bruce was shooting up fucking Dilaudid.
Yeah.
I'm standing at the bar by the sports book, and I hear what I had just taken off my jacket or something, and I heard what it sounded like a thermos bottle clunk to the floor. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? I don't have a thermos on me. And I looked down, and the dude had dropped his leg and didn't notice it. So I had to reach down and pick up from the knee stump down this prosthetic leg. And I said, excuse me, sir, you dropped your leg. And I handed it to him. And I think that's the first time I've ever said, excuse me, sir, you've dropped your leg.
Yeah. And the idea that he might walk off without it.
I saw a fight at Harvey's, and I had nothing to do with
Harvey's
it.
Comedy Club, yeah, in Portland?
Harvey's downtown Portland.
It was worst comedy club in America.
Yeah, the worst comedy club, and there was two groups of assholes that kind of closed the show together in the audience. Just they had to go through the same aisleway, and just two groups of assholes. But one guy who was in the middle of it had a wooden leg or a prosthetic, and he was at the bottom of the pile. But this one lady was screaming, "He lost his leg. He can't get up," or what it is. It's just a melee, and the prosthetic limbs, when they come off clumsy, are really fucking hilarious. You know, like a crooked and shit. It's like an optical illusion.
So, yeah, that guy tells me, he goes, oh, yeah, I set your buddy up with some pills. And I go, what, Andy? And I go, yeah, yeah. I go, what'd you give him, downers? He goes, yeah, a bunch of Ativan and Dilaudid. I go, well, you don't do that to Andy. Like, this is early. This is like 6 o'clock at night.
How low can you go?
Andy's actually, already.
Didn't Derek, you said I was, or no, somebody was telling me I was really up. I think Glenn Wool. Like, it kind of had the opposite effect. But when I went down for the night. I came into Doug's room for a few minutes, and I didn't have the energy to fucking. So I went. You guys came down to play.
Well, we went down to play, and then there's one creeper guy. He hadn't done anything specifically, but he sat at the other end of the table. Was it Let It Ride we're playing?
We play a lot. We gamble a lot.
He's at the opposite end of the table, and he's talking. I guess he's talking to you about
his corner.
I got to tell stand-up these stories.
He needs my story.
I got out of prison. He works in the oil fields in, like, Minot or something, right. North
and
Dakota.
And he was just wound way too tight.
And he was, like,
he would start doing
teeming
the,
with energy. Yeah, like, he's giving you the mad dog stare, even
you
when you're
me
politely
of,
talking.
You remind me, remember that video game where the little the guy in the little straw hat, he goes, he builds up fire and then goes, shoo. That's what that guy seemed like. He's like, he was going, I go, look out, he's going to shoot a fucking ball of lightning. But he was definitely a loose.
So he just get creepier and creepier, and you know it's gonna end in a problem. So we just switch tables and move to roulette, and he follows us, and then he's just sitting there with this violent energy and this wide-eyed meth stare, trying to talk to you. Yeah. But he's, and even when it's polite conversation, he's saying it in a way that's
it
not
almost
polite
felt like
at
it
all.
Was fake that he was trying to come off as not as creepy as he really was.
Right.
Like, hey, I can hold this together for one question. Hi.
Yeah, so then we decide, let's just abandon this. Let's quit. We were up anyway. So that was a good reason to just leave the floor completely. Came back upstairs. And at some point we go, he's going to be gone by now. Yeah, it's been an hour.
Let's go back.
Don't you wish you had a guy like Ray Donovan that's just on staff that would take care of a problem?
We do.
Yeah.
But he was sleeping.
Yeah. Oh,
Chad Chang was sleeping. I even texted him. I'll check my. I don't know what time it was, but I texted him at some god awful hour.
Paging Mr. Misdirect.
I just wrote, hey, we're still at the bar. Like, in case he just happens to be awake at 3:30 in the morning. Oh, no. But no, he wasn't. So we went back down to the bar. Obviously, the dude's still cruising back and forth, but we found some good seats on the back side of the bar where we thought he wouldn't spot us. And we had our backs to the wall and an eye on him. And at one point, he spotted us and he came over. And just then, a bachelorette party had shown up on the other side of the bars. So we put him on them. I like, man, those girls, you to go torture those girls.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right.
He's like, well, okay.
So then he's going over and like partially stripping for them. And I'm like, this is a perfect thing.
Like, did you learn that in jail?
Probably the wrong thing to say.
We put bad on bad. Like, okay, there's two awful people, the psycho and the bachelorette party. Let's put them together. And then that was very amusing for about 15, 20 minutes. It got
then
us.
That got creepy.
Then that got creepy.
Wait, what?
Well, he got creepy on them.
They got creepy on the girls, and they start going, we need to get away from this
guy. But see, then you could have done the reverse scam where it's good cop, bad cop, and then you move in and comfort the girls and say that he's been creeping you out, too.
Or we give him the lot.
We noticed that that guy was bothering you, and we've seen, you know. Shit.
Well, we had our own girl who was actually very sweet. I don't know her name. I wouldn't say it anyway, but she... there was two people that were hanging out down there. There's a guy, he had a cool leisure suit on. Mm-hmm. It's a cool dude.
Yeah,
looked like
great.
Jeremy Renner. And his girlfriend she was wearing a Packers shirt with huge tits.
Giant tits. Yeah.
You almost couldn't see the
just
Packers
had giant
logo.
Tits. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I stared at that Packer, you know, your mind starts coming up with different scenarios with Packer, cantaloupe
so
Packers.
So one of us talked her out of her shirt and bra.
Yeah. And she put on my red plastic jacket.
Yeah.
At the bar or in the casino?
In the casino, but it's at that backside of the bar where it's really dark. There's no place in Vegas you're not being filmed.
Yeah, there was a camera right above us.
But again, it's the plaza. The fact that a young girl is getting half naked is nothing but good publicity.
Yeah, I don't think
place.
They throw you out for that.
Yeah.
They throw you in for that.
And then, I somehow finally coerced her into getting down. I go, I understand if you don't want to show the nipples. You just want to show the cleavage. Because my mother also had one really awkward, weird nipple. So she was embarrassed. I don't have any awkward, weird nipples.
Oh, scars? Do you have any scars?
She did. She had a part of her liver removed. So she had a giant scar. But she had giant titties.
I didn't even know she had a belly.
I loved that. That was my favorite part of the ride with the Girls Gone Wild, was we were at one of those sketchy Atlanta bar, and all the big black women were showing off the, you know, it's obviously not going to be on the Girls Gone Wild, but we got some pictures, and it's just hilarious. Like, this is awesome, big flapjack titties.
Oh, yeah, well, Girls Gone Wild, and, like, every, like... hideous beast is there first and early.
We want a t-shirt.
Here
we don't have
titties. Can I get a hat?
We don't have extra.
Hey, how
extra
come
large...
your camera light isn't
the
on?
The red light's not on.
What? Oh, we have to cover it up. Yeah. It's a legal thing.
Do you don't have you, extra large shirts?
Here, take two. They're small.
That would be the better. That'd be the better video. Is to go around and do like a Girls Gone Wild at just real dive bars and get like a fucking old skanks to show their tits. I would watch that.
So, dude comes back. The story's not over. Yeah. Dude finally comes back after torching the ladies, and by this point, Big Titty's husband is fed up, and he goes, "Listen, you got to just leave us alone."
Yeah, I've had enough.
Yeah, and we are already parading away, and we get halfway back, and we're like, "Fuck this! This is
why are we being driven
out
by one?
We're all drinking. Sketchy guy." So we decide to go back, and I stopped at this two security guys. One's like 140 years old, and then there's this fucking angry black guy.
Right, like a 70s cop show.
Yeah.
I got all the experience, but the young kid, he's the runner.
And I just very politely said, "Hey, listen, that guy right behind you, don't turn around now, but right behind you, there's a guy with a shaved head and wearing a Hawaiian shirt kind of thing. That guy is definitely a problem. He's done nothing yet to actually warrant throwing him out, but it's going to happen because he's been, we've had to leave the casino floor twice because of this guy." And they go, "Okay." We go back to our original seats. The guy comes around and confronts the husband, like right in his face, like squaring off.
And we're back in a one-way corner, so there's no exit.
Yeah, we're backed into a corner. I'm waving at the security guys. I'm like, "It's going on now." And they're just staring at me. I'm like, "No, I just told you about..." I'm mouthing this from across the room. "This thing is going down right now." And finally, the black guy just starts moseying over like he's going to take out the trash. And I'm like, I said something like, "What are you rollerblading? Come on, this is a thing." And he heard that.
Yeah.
And he came
up to me while this fight is about to...
He squares off with Doug.
And Hans, he comes up to me. Are you going to try to tell me how to do my job? And I'm like, this is right here, right there. And so he looks at the two guys who are locked eyes and about to, like, who's going to, you know, who's going to get Froggy? And he says, you guys got a problem? And the one says, no problem, as he's looking at the other guy. Like, he's like, well, then there's no problem.
There's no problem.
I'm like, are you fucking? So I went directly to the pit boss, and I'm like, and the pit boss goes, hey, Doug Stanhope. I go, yeah, but right now there's a problem going on. These guys are fighting. I try to explain it. The security guy comes up to me. It gets in my face in front of the pit boss. You're going to tell me how to do my job, huh? Oh, you want to have some kind of problem with me? And the guy that was the good guy that warned you that there's a guy that's in it, and now you, and then the pit boss just walks away from me. I'm like, you're a fucking cunt. What a cunt. So, then I had to leave because, again, if you, no matter how right you are, if you're drunk, you're wrong. So I couldn't argue because, I was obviously pie-eyed, but I was,
I knew,
alert.
I knew I had to go. I'm looking for my phone all night, a couple days, but I thought the only place it was in the Louis Anderson Theater. And
the showroom where you had the show on Saturday
and
night.
I know the only people that, you know, I mean, I couldn't find anybody to open the room, but I knew if it was the people that were in there, they might be mad at me. So I was kind of nervous about going back to ask them. Because like you said, there's cameras everywhere in Vegas. You know, somewhere somebody saw me riding Louis' scooter, zipping around.
Well, you weren't really riding it. You were trying to hang on.
And it ended up tangled up in the backdrop curtain.
Not the backdrop. We didn't get back.
Well, no, it didn't hit the one that was directed to the stage.
I believe my manager, Mr. Brian Hennigan, the filthy uncut Scotsman, actually threatened your life.
He threatened to murder me, but he did it with such a high-pitched, shrill Scottish...
He meant it.
No, it was a controlled yelling whisper because the show Doug was on stage...
On.
And
oh,
you had
it was.
You
okay.
had rant yes
Louis Anderson does a regular show here weekly, so he was off this week, but he leaves his rascal scooter,
a fatty scooter,
backstage and with the keys in it, and then you know that's a fucking monkey with a gun with Andy. He's tearing around backstage at full speed, almost running people
pretty
over.
Quick.
Well, I was doing my Tony Stewart impression.
Well, he almost killed Becky, so that was good.
Yeah.
That's when Hennigan tried to kill you.
Hennigan repeated, because obviously I was on stage, so I missed the event. I heard about it from Brian Hennigan the next day yesterday at football, who said it with as much anger as he must have had at the time. Just repeating it, he was that angry. Like, he's yelling at me, telling me the story. Like, it wasn't me, I understand, but you're talking about someone else.
He's already cooled down for 18, 20
hours. No, beyond threatening to murder me, he hasn't brought it back up to me, so, you know.
That's probably good.
Yeah, well, that means he's either set the wheels in motion that I've already eaten poison or something.
Well, you stopped, and then it was Andy.
Last time I saw him, he was talking to some guy with a prosthetic leg, and he was.
It was very. It was very Adrian Pete. It was very Adrian Peterson threatening.
But it was done, and then you hit the gas. And did kind of a little bit of a...
It
lurched forward.
It lurched forward
and
again.
And the heavy backdrop curtain is the only thing that stopped you from going out towards the stage.
And especially, hey, Chris Fonseca wants to do a few minutes.
So then we'll put a link to Chris Fonseca. And then that's when Hennigan ran towards you and did that thing where he grabbed both lapels of your jacket and... yanked you
and threatened murder.
I should have said
you all heard him, he threatened murder. No, but
no
he did,
one
yeah.
was on your side.
Yeah, well, you were not gonna win on this one.
he was all dressed, he was dressed a little like a little baby Ray. What's the show, Ray Donovan? He had the black jacket and pants and
sport coat and
so yeah shirt. He was definitely dressed to make threats.
Well, it worked. I remember you disappeared for a while. You go, I'm going to go
good
find...
at disappearing
I think
for
he
a
said,
while.
He goes, I'm going to go find Louis Anderson. He ran off. I go, okay.
I know, but then you think, oh shit, there's cameras everywhere. So
no, we
Louis
all
probably
knew,
got hey, a feed going. What the fuck is going on? That's my favorite scooter. Now it's not even going to be charged.
That would be funny if it ran out halfway out to the stage.
No, I thought.
Ladies and gentlemen, Louis Anderson.
What if he closes his show by like when the whale does the big splash zone? Like he goes,
Shamu
up,
does that.
Does he? Yeah, he goes right to the edge of the stage, but somehow I've gummed it up, and he kills some people in the front, and then they review the tape and find out the guy was on his scooter, and that's what happened.
You left it on
See,
standby.
Was,
and it,
boy, I told you it was broken. Have the shirtless guy come up and fix it. But the thing about it is, I've been on some fatty scooters before, but this one was. I wonder if they had like extra
torque.
Extra husky scooter, because it went it was like a jet.
No,
ski.
It was amazing, yeah. How fast it goes. It really. I was like, I was gonna fuck with it.
It really.
Like,
And then I thought, if I did clip somebody, what if they made me? You know, like I could have got a Dewey for riding the scooter around if there would have been an accident.
DUI backstage. Only Andy Anders. Could get a DUI backstage
on a fatty
show.
On a rascal.
Sir, you want to step off the scooter? I was like, what?
In a 6-foot radius.
Those things weren't designed for somebody who's 170. It's just hard not to pick up the Louis vibe because these pictures everywhere in this building and outside.
Well, it is actually Louis,
and he does too. Have a he does.
I don't
he,
know if you know about marketing.
He does have a handsome pumpkin.
Yeah, it's weird being in Vegas, like reading through the weekly guide, and you go, "Wow, I'm fucking old because I recognize most of the people that are playing in Vegas, and that's not a good thing." I know more people in Vegas than any given improv on a Saturday night. I don't know any of the names on Comedy Central, but yeah, I guess we're at an age where they're all playing Vegas.
Yeah.
Tom Rhodes was in town. He came down. Ralphie May is in town. He couldn't make it, but Lana came down. That was cool. Miss Tabitha Stevens and Allie, not Allie, was nice to see you at the show. Dan Tosh was in town. Rogan was here doing UFC. Didn't get a chance to see him, but I did see a lot of roulette where you close your eyes and you can still see the wheels spinning when you're trying to sleep.
How'd you do?
Black 10.
We actually,
Black 10.
Yeah, we hit it a couple times. I think I might have actually come close to getting back to even once you showed up. Becker and I have a fucking good mojo at roulette.
It is, and it's great. I mean, a couple times we had all our chips in, and then we literally did a comeback where, you know, you have your colored chips for a dollar. We did a comeback where all of a sudden that one time I thought he did the math wrong because he shoved all the color back. I was fully on the board. I had nothing left. Fully on the board, and then I hit, and he shoves back all the color with $300 on top. I go, nice. I couldn't even do the math how I did that. I go, oh, really? Seven?
Becker and I were in Costa Rica once at the usual kind of
the Best Western Casino, El Cito.
Yeah, by the Liberia airport. And we got on a run to the point where we were hitting so fucking many numbers randomly in a row that we were scared. Mm-hmm. Like they might come after us.
It's a little locally run casino.
Just random numbers.
There's nobody really in it but us.
Yeah. I like 23. Boom, 23 hits. You know what? How about double zero? Boom. In a row and just stacks of fucking massive their colones, but we still fucking beat the shit out of them to a point where we should duck out.
Right.
We told them we told them we're gonna come back.
Yeah, we did a whole spiel. When do you guys open tomorrow? Because we're bringing this back. We want to put this in play. Don't kill us. Are you guys staying in the hotel? Not in room 17, if that's what you mean.
Oh, yes. Okay. Hey, and the people, no one really traveled that far. We put out the thing where whoever, because the plaza is attached to the bus station. And there has been no dearth of fucking scavenger, savage homeless people that meander through waiting to get that fucking bus to Omaha.
Security's got their hands full here.
I saw a guy get taken out in a wheelchair by security, and he was drunk, so they put him in the wheelchair to get him out.
Was it Chris Fonseca?
No, it was a guy who was just
so drunk he was walking around.
Yeah, this guy. So then they took him out to the front of the taxi cab stand, and there was like five, all of them black guys driving in the row. And then one by one, they drove past this white drunk asshole and refused to give him a ride.
Turnabout is fair play.
Yeah, there was a big scuttle, security calling, you know, saying something. We got to get this asshole off our curb. And
cops won't take him. Paramedics won't take him. The bus shuts its doors. And
yeah,
pawn shop takes a look, says we'll take the chair, but not the guy in it.
Hang on, Derek. What do you got?
There was a huge fight in one of the casinos this weekend. I thought I heard 35 people were involved.
Oh, really?
Probably I saw it on the news this morning.
Was it UFC?
I bet it was at UFC related.
It could be UFC. I've been to UFC, and it's terrifying to be in that crowd.
Yeah.
It's just bloodlust. This fucking animal. Gladiator shit.
Yeah.
But that's not near downtown.
So...
all the UFC stuff's up at those big fancy hotels on the Strip, not downtown Las Vegas.
No, it's nice, though. It's really, they've done a good job.
Oh, you got bare-knuckle brawling down here, too, but there's no cage.
But it's organized. Mm-hmm.
Get to finish up. Who traveled the furthest?
Oh, yeah. So we did the who's going to travel the furthest by Greyhound, and I don't think anyone really made any long, long distance ones. But we had people from everywhere, and thank you very much for coming out. We had a fucking blast at football. But Raven, who was it? What was the guy's name? Fred.
Fred.
Fred and Raven came from Sweden. Yep.
To see the show.
To see the show and hang out for a couple days. So, yeah, we'll hook up with them later on today.
Yeah, they were
great. Thank you for coming from Sweden, because I ain't coming there anytime soon. Maybe. Maybe 2015. Do that run again.
He looked like a guy from Sweden, though. That was what I thought was cool. He had dreadlocks. He's huge. And he's just nice.
Yeah, he plays Swedish reggae. Yeah. I go, that's a niche market.
That is. I mean, you get me in the door with it. I don't know if I'm staying.
Maybe we'll get him on the podcast later doing the Swedish reggae unplugged.
Is that what he does? Swedish reggae?
Yeah, Swedish reggae.
He did look like it.
No, but
I think he's probably the only one doing it, right?
Well, it's in Sweden, if you want reggae, you probably don't have a lot of choices. You got to go find Fred.
We meet Fred's out of town. The hell is he?
Fred's in Malmo.
How's the reggae scene? I don't know. I'll ask if Fred's around. I like Sweden. They got nice waffles.
What are the odds this Swedish reggae guy, though, gets hit up for weed all the time?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing he looks like.
Yeah.
A lot of people got laid this weekend. Not going to mention any names, but some people that never get laid got laid, and that was a very nice thing. Thank you, ladies, who slept with friends of mine that don't ever get laid, and that's a really nice thing. That doesn't happen much at a Doug Stanhope show. Well, you know,
I like that there's more variety in Doug's audiences. We're starting to get some transgenders out.
Oh, yeah, that guy, Tim Madonna. You were fucking great. Dude in a dress and fucking, we never got around to doing
red
that.
Red Mary Jane pumps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was like Klinger. He didn't really acknowledge anything odd about it. And it was perfect.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he wasn't made up. He had long hair, but it was, you know, and done well, but he didn't have makeup or fake tits. He was just a dude in a dress. Yeah.
It was great.
Nothing like he didn't bare the shoulders or go spaghetti strap.
No
he
drama would, you know, with him, yeah.
Yeah.
He had his back to football the whole time, playing the part.
Yeah, in the sports book and saying, you know, I thought Vegas would be a lot more open and liberal than it is, but I get a lot of looks. I'm like, come on, man, you're going to get a lot of looks everywhere. Someone said that. Dude, anywhere you go, you're going to get looks.
Passable, you're not even plausible. No.
Is he a comic?
No, he's just some dude.
Yeah. He was hanging out with some of the local comics that were.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
If he was a comic, he didn't say so. But I said, wait till Chad Shank is down here for some muscle, and then go up and start high-fiving San Francisco fans anytime they score. This is a bunch of burly dudes in San Francisco jerseys that just go, yeah, fuck yeah, San Francisco, and high-five them. But wait till we have muscle. But we never did get around to that gag.
We did that somewhere where we went to a bar just to be obnoxious, rooting against the home team.
Oh, you mean every bar?
Yeah, maybe.
No, you guys did that during the Lakers playoff.
We've done that a lot.
Yeah.
I thought you did that with a film crew, though.
Oh, yeah, we tried to do that as a gag for the... No, that was a whole different gag.
Okay.
That was going to a bar. It never aired because I was fucking hammered. It was going to it was a Lakers bar, but just scream every time from the first basket, the Lakers, yes! Like it's the game-winning basket. Did.
Who made the free throw, motherfucker?
And then the fucking next basket with the other team, you just fall down like your dream is over.
It's over.
And start weeping.
Wait.
And then the next basket, you jump up and celebrate like you just won. And then you fall down and cry again. And that, the whole idea was it's going to get wicked old, but it got wicked old way too quick.
That's a long game.
That's why you save something for the fourth quarter. Even the pros don't care how it goes in the first three.
Yeah. All right. What else do we have to piece together?
Well, a bunch of people brought you things to the table that I was sitting at. Some of those.
Oh, yeah.
I
finally started calling it the Christmas tree because people kept coming out. Hey, we brought you this and you're not going to carry it around all day. So we started one table and said, OK, put it under the Christmas tree.
Right. You should just change the title and have merch and gift table. So, you know, everybody knows.
We couldn't sell merch because evidently there's some corporate thing and you have to fill out paperwork 2 weeks in advance to sell merch. And we have a shitload of stolen Bibles because for the last month on the road, Chaley hasn't been on the road with me. And if Chaley ain't there, I'm not selling merch. I'm not walking off that stage hammered and I'm trying to make change. Yeah. So fucking. But I have all the stolen Bibles. I have like 6 weeks worth of stolen Bibles.
And everyone in our circle has been collecting Bibles as well.
Oh yeah, everyone here. We have
comics and otherwise.
We have like what, 24 people staying here. So yeah, we got all their Bibles.
And then the great scam that we worked out on the road. We got a room with a single king bed.
Oh, we need two beds. We're gonna have to switch rooms, and then we grab that
the Bible, and then wait for them to get us a new key, and then go to the next room, and so that ends up being.
I did.
Do you know how much easier it would be for us to just cheat and have the Gideon send us a bunch of Bibles? I make sure every Bible is authentically stolen from a hotel room.
I was saying it
before I rob you on an overpriced thing that cost me nothing.
The Bibles are free, by the way, at Salvation Army, and I told you that a long time ago, and you're like, nope.
Nope.
We're stealing them.
We have to sell. If we're going to fucking jack them up for outrageous prices.
I cannot look someone in the eye when I'm signing a stolen Bible if I don't know it's really stolen. I even steal the pins. I sign them with.
Let me see here. I got a bunch in Laramie that when the maids start cleaning, they open up all the doors. So I just went down the line of rooms and took all the Bibles.
Chad Shank went into, we were eating breakfast in Boise. I'm sure I've told this story before, but fuck it. We're sitting at breakfast at like a big boys kind of place. And Chad Shank goes out. We think he's going out to get high. And then like 20 minutes goes by and we've already paid. And like, where did he go? Did he sketch out? Did he kill a guy? And we went outside, and I'm smoking a cigarette. We're just waiting, and he comes running up to the car going, go, start the car, go. He had gone into the hotel next door, said, hey, he showed his room key from the hotel we had left. It's not the same hotel. And said, I'm in 234. I need a case of Bibles. We're doing a Bible study, and I need a case of Bibles.
The guy that was going to bring the Bibles called, and he can't make it. So we're in a jam here. We're all meeting, and we need some Bibles. Is there anything you can do to help us out?
And the front desk says, okay, what room did you say? 234. I'll bring them to your room. And he goes, no, everyone's in the van right now. We're on our way. So he brings them in. He brings him into the locker, wherever the housekeeping locker, and he's looking through shit. He goes, here, I got Books of Mormon. He goes, that'll do. He had a case of Bibles and books of Mormon.
I like it when you're willing to go, sure. A couple phone books. Okay, throw them in.
He came with a, it was a plastic, those kind of chintzy plastic bags for laundry that they hang up. So he was like kind of walk running. But if he would have gone too fast, he would have ripped through. Yeah. And he's like, go, go, go. And he's as he's coming up to the car. Yeah.
I mean, that was the biggest one-time score.
Yeah, that was great.
I've never seen it. We've had the Hindu book. I can't even pronounce it.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I wish the Promise Keepers were still a group, because you could infiltrate them and steal all their Bibles at night when they're fucking. That's what broke up the Promise Keepers, is there was a lot of gayness going on.
I don't even remember what the Promise Keepers.
Really? It was like a big convention of Christian
like
dudes.
A million man march of Christians,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, but there were also... you know, the usual crooked shit, but there was also, you know, you get a bunch of dudes together, you know, get them all hyped up on being the head of the house, and then they're hugging and praying and crying. Eventually, somebody's going to stick a dick in something. And that's
they call that snake dancing.
Yeah, that's what kind of broke up the whole Promise Keepers movement.
I don't know if that's factual based.
It
but
is.
We'll,
it is.
We'll go with it.
Yeah.
No one's really using this for a news source.
No, my brother.
I'm going to check the thrift stores for those Promise Keeper shirts.
Oh, there's probably some, and they're stained with tears and semen.
Kind of like your laundry.
Yeah, kind of like my laundry. That's how I know that club soda helps.
I don't have anything. We talked about some things yesterday, but. Nothing. It was just we were going to do this and kind of roll with it. But
yeah, I've had a fucking great like 4 days.
Yeah.
And I'm just starting to feel like I'm fading away into the sunset.
But we had a lot of people from Alaska came down.
Yeah, yeah.
And they ended up having to leave this morning. So.
Oh, did they?
Well,
I don't
well
even...
Bart's still here, but Duran and Michelle.
Glenn Wool is still here.
But you want to talk to Luker. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
But she had
this is just the Hangover podcast, just trying to figure
out. Glenn Wolf said you're podcasting at 5:30.
Glenn Wolf's still in town. He's here till tomorrow as well.
Yeah, by then we'll have our shit together, so we'll do that podcast. I just wanted to do a podcast where we're just all fresh out of bed with crust in our eyes. I really still can't focus. My contacts are fucking greasy. Everything looks like a Penthouse magazine Vaseline lens shoot to me. And I just thought it might, maybe it would be a little fun to all wake up and go, what the fuck did we do?
Yeah, and that's really the problem with memories is if you don't have them, they're hard to repeat.
Security could come up and talk.
I think I almost, you know, like everything here, they have their on camera. Like I could have tracked down my phone by just watching, you know, enough footage to go. Okay,
did you find it?
Yeah, I did track it down.
Where was it?
Had it. They said I left it at a bar. And when I found it, I looked at the pictures. And there's one of me all blurry, like I just dropped my phone or something.
Like a Bigfoot photo.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I finally did track it down. But it took 2 days.
You don't have anyone to call.
I just didn't want all that stuff. You know, there's stuff in there. It's, you know.
How many messages did
porn.
You miss? Me calling my phone. Oh, wait, calling my phone.
Actually,
shit, that was
did
me
you
too.
Get the message from Cliff from Appleton called me about a comic that went to the Panama party that hit a tree?
Dead?
He died.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Mike
Roe? Is it Roe?
No, hang on.
Is it the guy in Milwaukee that you made stare at another comic and the first guy to look away at Art's house? That was Mikey.
Was it? Yeah.
Was it the guys that wore the suits? The suit suits?
No. He
was a young guy.
Yeah.
Mike Prell.
Oh, that was him. He was a comic host. He wasn't.
Yeah. Prell was kind of a stoogey MC that we liked. I think
that's the guy.
Yeah, he's a real likable dude. And Cliff, I got that message. I haven't talked to Cliff. And since the economy went bad, and he said he could no longer hire shows of risk, I was like, wait, I don't do any fire.
Yeah, and he's classified as a high-risk act.
High wire.
Weekend is a fire act, by the way.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like, you know, you're the one who put the lines on the table, man. That's how I became a show of risk. But he left this message, and he said, you know, it was obvious somebody, you know, got some bad news to pass, and I thought, you know, I thought Art Henty was what I immediately thought. It must be Art because, you know, Cliff wouldn't be calling me about anything else. But, yeah, that was the morning news that Mike hit a tree and there's several other dudes. So He was three blocks from his house at a bar, and on the return trip to his folks' house where he's living, trying to get things together in an Audi, I think he said.
You get a very long text, didn't you? Because I just my text says Mike Prell died in a car accident. That's
no, but
it.
Yeah, no, I talked.
I get BRB or LOL. You get but, a fucking
right.
Chapter.
No, I talked to him, but he said he hit a curb going 70 miles an hour in a three block radius with two people in the car that are all fucked up to some degree.
He'd been doing his laundry earlier that day. I don't know how that got in the text.
Yeah. If Kennedy had just worn a hat, you know, you'd never know. If Kennedy had an Abe Lincoln hat on, do you think he would have got hit in the noggin?
Well, I do remember that we were at Hinty's house, and it wasn't horrible. We didn't end up kicking him out of the party, but you had these two guys had to stare at each other and not laugh or something. And I had to not talk. And I had a full beard at the time.
Yeah, Prell was a chatty Cathy, I dare you to not talk.
Yeah, and I was supposed, and I sat right in front of them, and they were almost nose to nose looking at each other, just waiting for the other guy to break, and I was like just staring like poker face the whole time, and I don't even know if he knew who I was. Now is this guy with a fucking creepy beard staring at him, and then the naked Kelly also. She didn't know it was
Cocktease Kelly. Please, use her real name. Yeah.
They didn't even know, and I think ended up having to kick the other guy out, and that was amusing for us, and it solved the problem of too many chatty people in Art's little house.
Yeah, so. That was the annoying thing. Talk. I don't know if he's working out bits or what it was.
I think that,
why are we shitting on this guy?
We're not shitting on him. That was a fun memory.
No,
that was
he's a
good time.
Yeah, I don't.
That was before Cadillac Slim got there with the ladies.
Oh, Sacramento Slim, the pimp. Yeah, that was a good night.
Yeah, that's the. Yeah, it wasn't for me. I mean, you know,
how did he end up there? Do you remember? We're at Art.
Yeah,
this is in Milwaukee. We're at Art Hinty's house. And for some reason,
for 3 days,
we're playing a club that's it is a strip club.
Oh, that's what it was. There's a strip club, and they had a comedy club attached in the basement. So we're playing the comedy club, and we're leaving. And one girl said, "Where are you guys going? You want some company?" And we thought, "Hey, titty dancers want to hang out with us." Oh no, they're not titty dancers. Once they leave the property, they're hookers. So we tell them where we're going before we realize, "Oh, I don't think they just want to hang out." And they show up at the house with Sacramento Slim, their pimp.
What car?
A Cadillac.
Gold Cadillac.
Gold Cadillac. Yeah. Sacramento Slim, pimp.
So apparently stripping's doing better than comedy.
But here's the kicker. Sacramento Slim's bottom bitch was a sister. Which is a little weird, I guess.
So they come in, we explain to them, hey, listen, we thought, you know, you were just coming to hang out. We didn't understand. Their lady, I understand you came a long way. I'll definitely pay your,
travel.
I'll pay your travel. And and they came in anyway. They were cool. Yeah, that's fine. And then.
Well, I got
next
there
thing
late.
I know, Andy's getting beaten.
Well, I got there later, and I guess they were at the show, because one of them, as I was walking in, said, "Where's that one? It ain't funny." And I walked in, and I was the one she was definitely
the high risk guy.
The high risk. I don't like risk acts. Why not? You like waffles? Can I touch your penis? So then somehow. How did anyway? She was beating me with the belt,
making him renounce his white race.
Yeah, because I wasn't funny. She was all of a sudden, "Oh, it'll be fun." She's gonna hit me with a belt a couple times, but then she got on and then was trying to make me renounce my white race, which gladly I don't give a fuck.
It went from like vague, naughty, sexual spanky with a belt to Amistad.
And then 12 years a slave. And I looked at Sacramento Slim thinking maybe the pimp will stop this violence.
Or at least ask me for money.
And he just opened a wide grill smile and looked, and I knew the pimp wasn't going to assist me at all. I finally got away from the bitch because it's like, you know, that's
we were laughing.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime.
I didn't want my first hooker interaction to be so heavy with the belt.
And didn't we call Sacramento Slim up the next time we played Milwaukee?
Yeah, he came to the show.
We put him on a guest list.
Yeah.
I think the BBC.
He should be our Elvis anytime we play Milwaukee. It's just always leave Sacramento Slim's name on the guest list.
Yeah.
We don't know whatever became of it. Maybe he moved on to greener pastures. Maybe he's pimping it in the big city.
I hope he didn't move to Sacramento. Because that would be really confusing. Yeah, Sacramento.
He's
slim
just slim.
Sacramento.
There. Just yeah. slim.
Just slim.
They're all Sacramento.
I think, didn't he go? I think he took us. I went clothes shopping with the pimp, right? Because didn't he take us to the pimp?
We don't
store?
Know what you do in your off time, know. Andy.
Yeah. I think I went shopping with Slim and he taught me how to dress. Or no, maybe.
No,
yeah.
It was Art that brought us to that pimp suit.
Right. But he
store.
Approved my outfit, which I thought was. When a pimp says, gives right. you the, you know, that's yeah. you know.
Yeah. And you should get a belt with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whack, raise whack. It. Son of a bitch.
You can get started in this business with a belt and a sister. Can you flip a sister?
All right, well, here, let's
flag.
Let's raise a toast to Mike Prell.
Mike Prell. Yes.
Another weekend, another dead friend.
And yeah. and Mike Prell's going to have no problem being silent now.
We wrapped it up.
Oh
really
no, we
nice
can edit. We can edit to Mike.
No,
Prell.
We don't edit you.
We don't
out.
Edit that.
You don't. You'll never learn if we edit out all your social faux pas.
There's another club that won't book you.
Yeah, somebody came up and says they liked it. It's kind of like a nervous tic I have. He said, yeah, and then he goes, and then I did it, and he goes, see, like that. I didn't even know what I. There you go.
All right, that's a quick hangover podcast. We'll do a few more podcasts once we get our eyes focused. With the remainder of the Vegas party, was I don't know if Chad Shank's still around. Chad Shank got recognized twice just by his voice from this podcast.
That's awesome.
That's how good Chad Shank
that's
is.
That's amazing.
So hopefully he's still in town, but I bet he left. Hey, since I do this dumb podcast, I should be dropping my dates. Starting October 8th, we start driving on the road back with me and Bing Bong Bingo Bingaman and Ding Dong Greg Chaley and the lovely orange-haired Tracy. We start in El Paso October 8th, and then we go on to Albuquerque, Amarillo, Springfield, Missouri, Columbia, Missouri, Peoria, Illinois, Rock Island, Illinois. That's the shit, right? Chicago, Grand Rapids, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Oh, I'll be going back there again, I'm sure. Cleveland, Ohio, Flint, Michigan, where I'm known and loved, Detroit, and then we're on a plane home to pack our shit for Australia. That was a break, and now back to the podcast already in action. All right, that's a podcast. Play the Mattoid. Party time. Party time. Time. Smile your smiles and do
Party time, party time, party time. Hey! Party time.